You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabach.
All right. John and Gordy in for Pete.
That's right.
And, we just talked to Scott Dickers, who has the Onion story. He's just written that book, and it's really a great read because my name is in it. All right. So,
you're in there for a couple paragraphs. And that's available wherever you get books. You know,
yeah,
you figure it out.
I wanted to ask, let's just keep going with this.
Well, we should mention the question of the night. Who's your favorite TV or movie dad? Right. Who's your favorite TV dad or movie dad?
Who's your daddy?
Yeah. And we've gotten a bunch of answers here, John. I don't know exactly where to pick this up. And plus, the print is really small and I can't read it. Let's see.
Did we get Tyler?
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, from the show
Dinosaurs.
Oh, Earl from the sitcom Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not the daddy. You're not the daddy. I don't know what that refers to.
Was that a catchphrase or something? Were those the ones that were in costumes in Dinosaurs?
I think so.
And it was just an amazing show. Everybody had, you know, dinosaur.
Yeah.
Outfits on and
Conrad.
Did it look real?
I don't know.
I don't.
I have to look that up.
Okay. And then Daniel Wheeler from Facebook says Steve Zahn in the first season of The White Lotus.
Yeah, that was a good season. Favorite. That was fun.
So he was
a lot of fun.
And joining us now is Ann Voss Peterson, who happens to be John Peterson's wife.
Oh.
And did you know that?
Surprise. Yeah.
And you have a Steve Zahn. Good evening, Ann, by the way.
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Nightlight. Great. Yeah, it's all good.
We're going to talk about her books. You know,
she's got
a lot of books out there. And
how many books have you written now?
Well, I thought we were going to talk about Steve Zahn.
Okay,
let's talk about him.
You know his wife? First.
I know Steve Zahn's wife.
How is that possible?
Wow.
Well, she writes romantic comedy. And I write romance and thrillers.
Yes.
Okay.
And so at Romantic Times, the Romantic Times convention, mm-hmm. we sat next to each other and at a big book signing.
Yeah.
Because she writes under Robin Peterman.
That's Peterman. Oh. So you were in alphabetical order.
So we were right next to each other, and we hit it off. Yeah. Wow. We had a blast.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, that was the whole point of going there, is having a blast.
Yeah. Well, right. I sold a lot of books too.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Well, how long ago was that? More romantic books that you did at the time?
Yeah. That was probably 2014, 2015.
Okay. Yeah. When you were with Harlequin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't anymore at that point.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Why don't we get to your beginnings here?
Yes,
because it happens.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm asking is because it involves me and Gordy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
How you got started with romance novels.
That's right.
Yes. I started writing literary fiction, and I got a degree in English creative writing from the UW-Madison. And anyway, I was looking to make a living writing, which is kind of a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
Try
and you're not going to do it. Yeah. Not really.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it in writing literary fiction unless you teach. Yeah. And I didn't want to get my MFA. Mm-hmm. So mainly because I was sick of school at that point. But anyway, so I was looking for something to write. And at that point, you guys were doing a radio show. On Triple M.
And mm-hmm. was this before you met John?
We were married at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
and so just married. So you guys did a bit called Romance Novel Theater.
Yes, that's right. We did. Yeah.
Where you acted out a scene from a romance novel
on
radio.
It was a regular bit that we did.
Yeah, yeah. We picked up a book that seemed risky.
So yep.
We thought we'd do it on the radio.
Risque.
Yeah. And risky.
Well, I looked for some of those book, you know,
yeah,
whatever passages for you. Anyway,
right,
romance novel novelists hate that kind of thing. They really hate that kind of thing.
What do you mean?
Because it's like you're making fun of romance novels,
true.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
Except for me, it actually got me reading romance novels. I started writing romance novels because of that. I wrote romantic suspense.
Cool.
You know, so you identify
because of romance novel theater.
So you have identified with Kitty Dunn at that point.
Yeah.
So how did you write your first romance novel? I mean, how do you get started?
Why don't you tell us there's a format to Harlequin's romance novels, right?
Yeah.
Well, not really. There's story structure, but that's true of any story.
Okay.
And it depends on, for romance, you have, your couple. So you have two characters there.
Yeah.
And you have to have some reason that they can't get together. And it's best when it's some reason within both of them that they can overcome.
Some inner conflict.
Change because of what happens in the novel.
Yeah.
They change and they are able at the end to get together.
Is this where we use dark moments?
Oh, sure. That's just story structure.
Now. Okay.
Okay.
So for a mystery novel, murder mystery, somebody dies at the beginning and then you go through the plot and the detective puts the pieces together. Yep. And by the end, they're going to, find out who killed the person.
So what was your first book that you wrote and how do you send it out or you get an agent or what? What was the first book?
Well, she's on hire.
Well, I never sent my first book anywhere. Oh. I wrote a complete novel and it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And so I didn't submit it. So I wrote a second one. And that wasn't very good either. So I didn't submit that. And my third one.
What do you mean it wasn't very good? But how do you know it's not very good? Did you send it to an editor and they said, this sucks?
I just kind of knew it wasn't very good. But
this is before AI. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. So then you wrote the third one.
So then I wrote the third one.
Yeah.
And I thought that one was pretty good and ready. Yeah. And I thought the second one had a lot to it that could be good. So I started rewriting the second one. Okay. And then RWA, Romance Writers of America, used to have a bunch of contests, which they might now, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they used to have contests for unpublished manuscripts, and they would send them to editors who would judge the finals. So if you made the finals, then the editors would see your stuff, and sometimes agents.
Okay.
And so I did that, and I got a request for both. The third and the second rewrite.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're in business.
Yeah, well, then I had to wait for 16 months before they read them and got back with an
16
offer.
16 months?
Yeah.
So was that Harlequin that was getting back to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Harlequin editor was judging.
Right. That. And it takes a while, but those were some wild days. Can we just go by some of the weird titles that they came up with novels? They came up with
well,
the titles.
Well, usually they title them. Yeah. I got a couple of them. My first novel was Inadmissible Passion.
I love that title.
And that was my title, which is
I just love
odd,
that thing. Yeah.
Inadmissible
Passion. Yes, it was a legal thriller.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, and then they did a number of different titles, and the one that John loves more than anything.
Yes, I really, this just is unbelievable.
And I hated more than anything.
Yeah.
Which is one? Covert Coochie Coochie Coo.
You're kidding me.
No.
They had the nerve to actually name her book that.
It had a baby in it.
Yeah, that's why the Coochie Coochie Coo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how did that one do?
I don't know. Okay.
People stayed away.
You know, Harlequin novels were everywhere.
Yeah.
So I have not just from that, because now I've self-published a lot since, and I wrote for Thomas and Mercer, wrote three spy thrillers.
And Thomas and Mercer is with?
They are owned by Amazon. Yes. They are Amazon's publishing arm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how many books have you written now?
I have written 68.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wait a sec. Oh, your phone just went off.
My phone because you.
Okay. What happened there? Okay.
You've got your current, your first novel away from all of this is Push Too Far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2012.
And that's a Vel Riker series that you have out there, the
Val Riker Thriller Series. Yeah. And that's a police chief in a small, fictitious Wisconsin town.
She plays a police chief.
She is a police chief.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, yeah. So I made up a town called Lake Loyal, Wisconsin, which is just west of Baraboo. So it's like in the middle of the the bluffs. I mean, there's no town there, really. It's supposed to be kind of maybe North Freedom-ish, except it's on
Rock
the lake.
Rock Springs. And, okay.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Well,
yeah,
North Freedom would be the ammo plant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking with Ann Voss Peterson, and so you're a novelist now. Is that?
I am.
That's.
Yeah, I've been a novelist since, I mean, a professional, like being paid to do it, since 2000. That's when I published my first book.
And of course, then you took a lot of the ownership of the novels that you wrote, romance novels for Harlequin, and you bought back, or they gave back the copyrights to you.
They have to revert them after they're out of print.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So I was able to get 20 out of my 25 Harlequins. I got the rights.
And the cool thing was you were able to restructure them into actual novels.
Yeah. Some of them.
Yes.
Some of them I made into thrillers. So romantic suspense for Harlequin kind of doesn't include a lot of the investigation part or a lot of the real crime part. Right. So I wrote all of that stuff with my character, Val Riker. And I put those books into my Val Riker series.
Okay.
Anna's very dark. You know, she's very dark. Yeah, very, very brutal. Very psychic.
Now you also have a writing partner occasionally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And now, how does that
work? He's a wild man. yes, his name is Joe Conrath.
Yeah. J.A. Conrath.
And what kind of books do you, I mean, is that a whole different series?
Well, he writes thrillers and horror.
Okay.
And so he and I together, we write a spy thriller series that's kind of like action movies in book form.
That's right.
So it's just action.
Like Matt Helm.
It's crazy. Like Matt Helm. Hopefully better than that.
Yes. A better storyline and dialogue than that.
All right.
And no songs. And it's codenamed Chandler.
Yes, codenamed Chandler. And there are 9 books in that series.
Okay. Any other series that you're working on?
Well, Joe and I also write comic erotica.
Okay.
Under a pen name.
This is what Gordy was getting This is what he was talking about.
Yeah, this is what I want to find out about. Yeah. Now, how do you comic erotica?
Comic erotica.
That's an actual classification in the book world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So
funny. It's funny erotica.
Funny. Okay.
That's what it is.
And
tell us what is the first idea, the first series
we decided kind of on a lark to do. The idea was fairy tales, you know, as erotica. So we ended up doing.
Don't mind us. We're just
writing.
Okay. Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, Alice.
As an erotica.
And it was called?
It was called originally 50 Shades of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you have to change the name or something?
Well, we did.
They were threatened, but they really didn't have to change it. They
We didn't, but we changed it anyway. Yeah. So it's now Kinky Secrets of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And the novel, the name is Melinda Duchamp.
Okay.
That's our pen name.
That's the author's name, Melinda Duchamp.
Yeah.
Very good.
I love that name.
We'll find out more. We're visiting here with Ann Voss Peterson. And we're taking your calls, too, if you want to chime in. 855-752-4842. It's John and Gordy in for Pete Schwab.
And we'll get back to the question, too, tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, who played your favorite TV or movie dad?
Yeah, we'll get more of that coming up. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, all night long. And nobody don't dance on the edge of the dark. We've got the radio.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
Civic Media Radio, John and Gordy filling in for Pete Schwab, Nightlight.
Mm-hmm.
And my special guest tonight is my wife, Ann Voss Peterson, talking about writing novels.
Yes. And we'll get back to Ann in just a moment, but we got to catch up
on. Oh, yeah. We got to catch up
on your favorite dads.
Your TV movie dad.
Right.
All right.
Got a bunch of answers here from here's one from a fan in Beaver Dam saying that they like. Bob Saget.
Forgot one of the
Danny Tanner.
The iconic dads, yeah. Bob Saget.
Right.
Also, it's Conrad's dad growing up, Andy Taylor. Is that true, Conrad? I did not know that.
No, sorry. That's my dad who texted in, Steve from Florida.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh, okay. I get it now.
But yeah, Andy Griffith was the ultimate dad during the 60s. Somebody said Mike Brady.
Yeah, Robert Reed.
Robert Reed,
yes,
of course.
Was the ultimate 70s dad. A little gay, but then, you know. Ed O'Neill.
Okay.
Ed O'Neill was wild, right?
Oh, Al Bundy.
Yeah,
Bundy. From Married
you gotta
with
like
Children.
That one.
Yeah, during and, the 80s.
Tim Taylor, Tim Allen.
During the 90s.
During the 90s.
Okay, so yeah, big list there.
Every decade out.
Okay. And you can chime in on that. You can text us on the
Civic
Media
app. I'm sure. My kids would say that, you know, it's their favorite dad is on the radio.
Is you. Of course they would say that.
There you go.
And back to your wife, Ann Voss Peterson here.
Hi.
I remember when you guys met. I remember where you met and when you met at Otto's restaurant.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. In Madison.
Yep.
Broadcasting
the Christmas party.
So, yes. Otto's is still
a radio station.
Yeah.
And I met John and Gordy at the same time.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I was best man at your wedding.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, and you drove the limo.
I did. The Triple M limo.
Yeah, radio station that had a limo.
It was a used limo. It had shag carpeting in it that hadn't been cleaned in a while. It was really not that luxurious, but it served the purpose.
But nevertheless, a limo.
Yeah.
And we went out in style.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and after the wedding, we went and went on the air.
Oh, that's
at
right.
The radio station.
With the Triple M in the middle of the night.
The radio radio announcer at that time was, you know, doing the late night shift.
Was it Ed Johnson or was it Mark?
Mark Elliott.
And Mark Elliott ended up being a producer or one of the people involved in
with Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest.
We worked with him for quite a while out in LA.
And he selected our song, John.
Well,
he
didn't really select it. It was the next song on the list.
Yes.
I'd like to kill him.
From that moment, John and my song is Street Fighting Man by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, wow. Okay. How romantic.
That really helped.
Okay.
You were there, Gordy.
I was there. I don't remember it, but I was there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, back to your writing.
Erotic
career.
Novels.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So are you always writing? I mean, does it ever stop? Are you always working on your next project?
I'm always either writing or getting ready to write.
Researching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, researching or just thinking.
Well, let's talk about the researching, because I know just from what you've told me, you actually go to some places, like you went to a fire station once or something.
I was in the police, the Middleton Citizens Police Academy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had
just
a 10-week program.
Yeah.
And I went to learn how they at just regular citizens could do this.
Yeah,
really. I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but
well, I'm sure they probably.
What did you learn there? I mean, what you just learned
we
techniques?
Did fingerprinting. We shot weapons. We did.
Well, you had to wear that heavy equipment.
Well,
as well.
With the police, and then I did the Firefighters Citizens Academy another 10 weeks.
Okay.
And we trained for, at the last thing we did was a live fire exercise at MATC.
Yeah. Really?
In Madison, yeah.
A live fire exercise.
Yeah, so we had to,
you had to
we had to put all the equipment on, we trained for 10 weeks so we could, you know, not die in the smoke and have them have to save us, right?
Yeah.
And we did search and rescue inside the buildings.
Mm-hmm. Kidding.
So I learned all of that. All of those things are in the books, by the way, you know. And we did ice rescue, paddled out to save somebody
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's wild.
Did all sorts of stuff. Oh, and we chopped apart cars.
You had to break the
jaws of life.
Yes, we did.
That's cool.
It was, right? yeah, And yeah, I have pictures of all those things.
And it's in each one of the novels that they have written. So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Most of those are in, I mean, Val Riker thrillers has tons of that stuff in it.
Okay.
Right.
My now, which firefighter book is, stuff and my
now I convinced you to put me in one of your books, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which book is that?
You are in Lethal.
Lethal.
Lethal, a serial killer thriller.
And Small Town Secrets is a series. Yep.
And it's a jailer, right?
You're a prison guard.
Prison guard. Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you what else, but you're in this book, boy.
Okay.
Drug dealing prison guard. Is that...
I'm not saying. You got to read it.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. All right. Can you stick around here? Because we're almost
out of time here. I think, you know, I want to touch on a few of the movies and television shows that we've been watching. And I'd like to touch on that because I know a lot of people out there do kind of tune in. They have these expensive streaming channels and they certainly want some tips and what to watch, what not to watch. Well, our feelings on that.
We want to find out your favorite TV, Dad. You've got right?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Well, not TV. I thought it was TV and movies.
Okay. TV
Mine
and movies.
Mine is going to be a movie, Dad, just to be different.
Yeah.
All right. And we're still getting some suggestions. Bryan Cranston's.
Sure.
Hal from Malcolm in the Middle. That was a great show.
That was great.
Fun stuff. And Roger from Stevens Point says Howard Cunningham. Yeah, see, he agreed with me from Happy Days.
Yes.
Howard Cunningham.
Yep.
Okay. It's Nightlight. Pete Schwab is off
feel
tonight.
Feel a bond now or something with that? Do you feel a bond with Roger out there in Stevens Point?
I do. Thank you. Thank you, Roger. All right. Okay.
More of Nightlight with John and Gordy filling in for Pete Schwab.
We're coming back after this.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab, John and Gordy filling in on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'd love to hear from you. In fact, we have a few more suggestions for favorite TV or movie dad.
That's right.
We've got Steady Eddie out there. He says, golly gee whiz, John and Gordy. Take off on Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Hugh Beaumont on Leave It to Beaver is my favorite pick. He later owned a Christmas tree farm and a cabin in Minnesota. Now, I remember he passed away.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Well, I'm sure he probably has.
So he had all that going for him. So Christmas tree farm.
And we're back with Ann Voss Peterson. Do you have a favorite TV or movie dad?
Ann? Yeah, I picked a movie dad because everybody was saying TV dads, and I would just have to say, yeah. So I have to be different. Yeah.
Okay.
And my favorite movie dad.
Is it a Klingon? Is it?
No. Okay. Yeah, that'd be funny. Steve Martin in the wedding one.
The daughter
got married. Yeah.
What is that called?
Father of the Bride.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really, truly one of the great movies. And that scene with his daughter out in the backyard while it was snowing. Wow. You know, you tear up every time you see that thing.
Now, we want to before we get too far along here, we want to remind everybody about The Godfather of Green Bay. And in fact, we're going to play a little clip here, right?
Yes.
The Godfather of Green Bay. This is the movie that Pete Schwab wrote and starred in and directed. And we're going to be playing it here in Madison at the Atwood Music Hall on Thursday, December 4th, 7 p.m. Tickets are just $10. Portion of the proceeds goes to the Dane County Humane Society. It's thanks to our sponsors, Downdrin's Distilling and Atwood Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping for a big turnout, so you can get the tickets. You can go to our website, WMDXradio.com, and click on the carousel banner.
Drive down here. Check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great movie. And Pete's
going to be there explaining a lot of the movie as well.
It'd be fun to go in costume.
With
props, Rocky Horror.
That wouldn't be hard. We've got a lot of Packer gear.
I know.
Right.
Wear your Packer gear then.
That's right.
It's a good idea. So we have a clip from them.
The first clip I'd like to hear is Tony Goldwyn. He plays the Godfather of Green Bay, actually, and he's doing the Pack Arena. to the Macarena song. So why don't we listen to this cut? Now, this is on Jimmy Kimmel. All right.
Herb, this. We managed to get a sneak peek at next week's episode.
Oh, awesome.
I was not able to get the whole episode, but this is a little special something for fans of the show Scandal, and this is what's happening next week.
Great.
The Macarena,
you know, there are just some things that never die. This is the problem. Scott Foley did such a great job dancing on Scandal. I thought that I had to show
what movie Chuck was Foley. That?
This was a little indie movie called The Godfather of Green Bay.
Yeah.
Several years ago.
The Godfather, right? I don't remember that scene from The Godfather.
I was The Godfather of Green Bay. And I had a mullet, and I did the Macarena.
You looked a little bit like Joe Montana in that.
I should be so lucky.
Yeah, you should be so lucky. That was a great clip. Yeah. Now let's get to Tom Lennon. He had a part in this movie as well, and this is how the movie came up. Let's listen to the clip.
Okay.
For $45. What movie am I in with Tony Goldwyn?
Oh my God.
And I'd say there's more where that came from, but there is not. There is not more where that came from. Okay.
It's honestly, I can't think of a Tony Goldwyn movie.
Do you have any hints?
Is it, can we all, I'm sorry, is it, it's hints? Not Scandal, right? It's not Scandal the movie, is it?
You buzzing
Sandy?
It? What to expect when you're expecting?
No, but I think that's worth five.
Yeah.
That's worth five. Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, Tony Goldwyn's and I are in a great picture called The Godfather of Green Bay. Thanks for watching it, you ass. Thanks for making it a hard trivia question.
The Godfather of Green Bay?
Yes, it's surprisingly good.
Yes, it is. It is.
There you go.
It's great. I mean, it really captures what Wisconsin is all about.
Yeah.
Really.
So come see it. You know, come to Madison and check it out on December 4th. That's a Thursday night, 7 o'clock at the Atwood Music Hall.
See, Pete plays a comedian, which he is anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well, he did stand up for a long time. Yeah. Lived in L.A. for quite a while.
And it was said that there was going to be a talent scout from the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson,
right,
in Green Bay.
Right.
And he had to practice and get his setup, his set, and it just didn't work out. But no, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to give anything away. You know, I always do that at home, and the kids don't like it. I have two Gen Zers who are very specific about all this stuff. I can't even show them previews, you know, like a trailer. It's crazy. All right.
Okay.
Back
with Ann Voss Peterson, John Peterson's wife.
You've got a story with Bill Shatner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, my onion story.
Yeah, because we were talking to Scott Dickers earlier from Onion.
He had a Bill Shatner story as well. So let's hear it.
Well, my story is I wrote an article for The Onion.
Oh, really?
A funny article, yes.
Yeah.
About, and I made this up, obviously, because my article was about a radio station that started doing a all William Shatner format.
That's right.
Okay.
So it was all Shatner songs, all
him
speaking, the whole.
Sure, you did a lot of spoken word things.
Yeah. Well, The Onion rejected it.
Oh, really?
The story, yeah. The article. So I turned it into a script, and then we did a little short film that we recorded in.
He wasn't there for that.
No, at WMAD, at the radio station. We did a short film.
Who did recorded a short this. Film?
You, John, and
like a whole
and
movie. Thing?
We got we roped everybody into.
We recorded this thing. We edited it all together. Yeah. Arnie Wheeler was in that thing. Dana.
Now Hartenstein.
Dana West, yes.
Dana West,
okay, I remember Dana.
Yeah.
Ken Hartenstein.
And then we actually showed it. It's only showing was on John and Gordy's Media World.
That's right.
How do I not remember this?
Well, because you didn't want to remember
it. It all comes together.
Okay.
My God, yes. I know.
Hey, Catherine Lake is joining us now in the studio. Yeah. Hey, Catherine. Yeah.
She wants to know some personal stuff. And
wow. So that's your William Shatner story.
Yeah, it all comes together, right? William Shatner, The Onion. John and Gory's Media World.
We should have
just doing a perfect circle.
Here. I wish Dickers could have heard that story.
Yeah,
you would have been in
Maybe
tears.
Maybe he's listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, what project are you working on now? You have a book that's
working on two different ones. I am working on one book that I am constantly rewriting these books that I got back from Harlequin.
Yes,
okay. And I only rewrote like 10 of them, and I have two left.
Okay.
So I'm always working on one of those. And then I have a new Val Riker thriller.
Okay. Which I wish you would just spend more time on instead of rewriting the old ones. But
And the super exciting thing is
what?
The new cover,
which
doesn't exist
yet. It's in
3D. My son is going to be doing the cover for the new Val Riker thriller.
That's right. Yeah.
He's done several covers for
Joe Conrad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've missed this whole interview. I've been downstairs drinking with the other management. Yes. You're just going to come in here. I just want to know about the process of writing. How do you motivate yourself to go to the computer to start? I mean,
that's the hardest thing, really, because once you sit down, then it's just kind of takes over. Oh, yeah.
But do you do it at a particular time of day or like first thing in the morning or anything like that?
This is my routine.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
This is whenever the border collie lets.
Yeah. You get up and play with the dog.
It all depends on the border collie.
It does.
Wow, your whole life depends on this dog.
It circles around the damn border collie.
Family. Okay.
So I play with the border collie.
Yeah.
And then I have coffee and something to eat. While John plays with the border collie.
Yes, it's my
turn. And then I take the border collie into my office.
Mm-hmm. Closes the door. And
I close the door and I sit and I crochet for a little while.
Yeah.
While the border collie sits next to me.
Yeah.
And border collie we cuddle. Helps you with the, does he?
No, she just cuddles. Okay. Just cuddles.
Rolling.
And then I think about what I'm going to write.
It's
and
my
then
daughter.
Eventually I think, okay, I have to get up and I have to write. And then I go and write. And she just lays there by herself.
And typically, do you sit and write for a couple hours or just?
Well, it depends. If I'm on deadline, I write a lot of hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. It's
and
pretty
then,
tough stuff.
And as books, at the beginning, a book is kind of hard to get into. So you're doing a lot of thinking and a little writing.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
By the end, I'm doing a lot of writing and the thoughts have already they just come at that point. Yeah.
A lot of times you have to go back and rewrite something in order to make it fit into the ending somehow. So,
And that doesn't happen. Now I mostly rewrite as I go. So by the time I hit the end, the book is
everyone
just needs polishing.
Everyone thinks they're an author. Everyone thinks they have a book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we don't all. Right. I mean, where do you get the how many books has she written?
From me.
68. No,
I give
68.
Her
68.
I give her all her ideas.
Maybe
67. Yeah.
No, 68. 60. Actually 69, but one night is never going to be published because it was bad.
Really?
Remember?
The first one?
Yeah.
The first one you're never going to publish.
Never going to publish it.
Come on.
Okay. Wow.
I want that book.
That's amazing. It's great stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'm just sitting around the table with her and I give her a great idea and then she goes back and writes it.
Oh, really?
So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, you know, that's the story.
Now, have you ever pitched a book to get made into a movie or how does that work?
Oh, you got pitched like for that, didn't you? Somebody wanted the rights to.
I've been approached, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hasn't gone anywhere.
No.
But still, that's something.
And I've had agents. I mean, the latest nibble that I got, we just sent it to our agent that's dealing with those books. But
Okay.
And do you go to a lot of writing seminars? And
no. I used to.
Regularly.
I haven't since 2018.
Yeah.
It's
been a while.
I don't know.
what do you think?
Get out the whip don't there, you? Man. Get out there and start working.
I the thing is that you often go to these things to meet people and
network.
Become friends.
Network.
And then once you become friends, you don't necessarily have to go to conferences anymore.
Yeah, you just communicate
online. Made the connection.
And my friends have been in the business for quite a long time. And they don't go to the conferences often.
We really haven't even talked about your other friends that have written television series have asked you to be a part of the script writing process. So we haven't even touched base with that. Let's touch base with that next. And then we'll talk about some of the movies and TV shows that we're watching right now that we recommend to other people.
I want to hear about that.
All right.
It's John and Gordy in for Pete Schwabba on Nightlight. We will continue after this time out on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, John and Gordy filling in on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope you're having a very entertaining evening. We love getting your calls, your suggestions, your favorite dads in TV or movies. And we have Mark from Prairie du Sac. He writes in and says, here's hoping MAGA doesn't claim the Macarena. I'd have nightmares seeing Trump.
Doing the Magarena.
Oh my God. Mark, good one, please. We're going to keep that to ourselves. Like I never wrote it.
Yeah.
All right.
Bad enough doing the YMCA. God. By the way, tomorrow night we're filling in again for Pete and we'll have, Tom and Christy Manis. They're travel writers and we love talking with them.
Throughout Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin based books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great things to do and see in Wisconsin. And Rocker will be here with a Max Inc. preview of the Friday night edition tomorrow night.
Cool.
Yeah, he does. Terry.
Terry usually does it, she's been
bar night, Friday night thing. What is that called, Conrad?
It's Bar Band Friday night.
Bar Band.
I knew. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, nice so that's tomorrow works. Night. Okay.
All right. Now let's get back to my wife here because, or else I'd get killed at home. No,
right.
Yeah, right.
We're going to talk about you have favorite TV shows right now, right?
Right now we're going to.
I thought that's what we
has. You know, the big thing that I remember most was her writer group. They had something called Beer Con.
Oh, yeah. And Joe had Beer Con.
Beer Con. Joe Conrath is crazy.
Jay Conrath.
And he would have all these expensive bottled beers that have been aging for a long period of time, and they're high alcohol, and they would have a beer con, and all these authors would sit around a table just drinking themselves silly.
Is that right?
Yeah, yep. No, seriously.
Tasted beer.
Seriously.
We tasted all sorts of beer.
Yeah.
We the rule of beer con was you had to finish the beer in your glass.
Yeah.
So he would slip in. Most of it was like really, really good. Expensive beer.
A little too strong.
But he would slip in really bad beer too.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. Some sort of strange bacon flavor stuff, I remember. But the rule of beer con was you had to finish what was in your glass.
Oh.
That's a stupid rule. I would not have adhered to that.
Or we had a beer once from that was bottled in 1919. It tasted like vinegar. That was just
No.
It turned.
So he's kind of a sadist.
Now you met some interesting authors there, especially one that has been doing a number of series, television series, and they're mostly based in Chicago.
Yeah. Blake Crouch. Yeah.
Yeah, Blake Crouch.
Yeah.
And what was the TV series he's come out with?
Dark
season
Matter.
Two.
It's based
season
on two. His book Dark Matter.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have a season two, which he has finished filming or
whatever.
Yeah, so it's
he's
really,
working on it now.
It's really interesting. A scientist friend of the guy, the main character in this, develops a room that contains thousands and endless amounts of doors. And you go through these doors into worlds, alternative worlds that have you in it and all your friends in it, but they're all doing something different.
They're different universes.
Yeah. Different universes. Cool. And one guy gets the idea that he wants to be a part of the universe where our main character is, because he is in love with the woman that he is married to in real life. So this other guy wants to be her husband.
Yes. So the bad guy character,
yeah,
who's the same guy, kidnaps our hero
and throws him into his world.
Steals his life.
Steals his life.
And so our hero has to get back to his wife and son.
Okay.
I don't know if that was ever resolved. I don't remember.
Spoiler!
Yes.
Yeah.
Spoiler!
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Okay, so season two is coming out.
Yeah, and my younger son, Brett, and I went down to the set for season one.
That's right. They asked
And
him
we spent a day in the set in Chicago.
No kidding.
It was, it was so cool.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
That was very cool. Yeah.
You've got a cool wife.
Yeah. She's got very powerful friends, so watch your language. All right. You know, we were just watching a movie on Netflix. It's Frankenstein. It's the new version of Frankenstein.
Yes. Hearing good things about
And it's really good, except for one thing. And I want to kind of get people to think about this.
Okay.
We're used to the original Frankenstein monster with Boris Karloff
in
it. But
the movie.
It's not like that in the original the book.
In the book.
The book. Yeah.
It is based on the book, which is actually the original story.
I know. And I'm expecting like pitchforks and, you know, torches and the townspeople revolting and burning the castle down. None of that happened. So it was like watching a completely different movie. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of warning people, don't expect anything that you know about Frankenstein. Go by this movie. This movie is completely different from the story that we're so familiar with. Yep. All right.
And I read the book, Frankenstein.
Yes.
Actually, fairly recently because.
Congratulations.
Female author.
Because.
Yeah.
Because our erotica, wrote an erotic version of Frankenstein. Kinky Secrets of Frankenstein.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You've got your night reading now there, Catherine.
Okay. Wow. So anyway.
Yeah.
There and where can we see the new Frankenstein? What,
it's on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay. Yeah. Great.
So approach it as a whole new story of Frankenstein, and I think you'll really enjoy the movie a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and Blake Crouch's book, Dark Matter, I mean, the first season and the second coming up season, is on Apple TV.
Okay.
All right.
Great. And Voss Peterson, good to see you again. Yeah. Thanks for being here. And also thanks to Scott Dickers earlier for joining us.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, Tom and Christy Manis will join us here on Nightlight and Rocker with a Max Inc. preview. And Conrad, thank you for all your help. We appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. See you guys tomorrow.
All right. That's going to do it for John and Gordy. We're here tomorrow morning, just a few hours. If you want to tune in.
We're sleeping here tonight.
Yeah, we're going to camp out here.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.